Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together again, once again. Lord, I know that's going to come a time probably when we won't be able to do this over the internet, but possibly we'll be able to do it in person. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be with us. You're going to be leading us. You're going to be guiding us, Lord, prompting us. And we thank you, Lord, that you do that. And Father, we just ask that you set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And that tonight, Lord, that people would come into the revelation of the sword or the cross. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's a good topic for the times that we're in. And also, Lord, that the truth tonight comes out. And we know that the truth is in the scriptures. And if the scriptures say it, and it goes against our doctrine, Lord, we know that we go with the scriptures, because the scriptures is the standard that we live by. And we'll just cast away the old doctrines and the old traditions of man in order to be right with you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a productive night in the Word. And we praise you, Father, for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What about prayer time? Anybody need prayer? Would like to pray about something? All right, nobody wants to pray about anything. Okay. What about a praise report?
I want something to pray for. I have something to pray for, Michael.
Okay, Debbie.
First, I have a little praise report, too.
Okay.
I was having I had problems with my stomach, and then I had a secondary scope done, a follow-up, and everything was good. Good as far as any infection I did have that cleared off, and biopsy is benign, so it's really good. So, but I've got erosions on my stomach, so quite a few erosions in the lining of my stomach, and it could turn to ulcers. There's been a lot of stuff going on, so it's no wonder. But so I'm believing God to heal them and help me to lean on Him more and trust Him more. So, you know, you're not trusting that things are going to affect you that way, but God's Spirit will, and peace will just come in, and just need that. There's some stuff that erupted a little bit today that bothered me, and I just got in the Word, and it was a good day, but I can feel it go right to my stomach, and I don't want to be confessing that, and I don't want that to be. So I don't know quite what I'm asking for. Just prayer that I will be able to overcome this. So.
Okay. You say it's a stomach lining you're having trouble with?
Yes.
Okay. What if I prayed that you got a new stomach?
Yes.
You reckon we could believe for that? I know I could, because it's your stomach.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we know that you have replaced organs before many times. I've seen it. Other people have seen it. And I know you can do this for Debbie. And I know you will do it. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that stomach to be replaced by a brand new stomach in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you've placed a great and bold faith in Debbie to believe that. And that from this point on, she has a new stomach, and she's going to confess it. She's not going to confess any other kind of ailments in that stomach in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that she is completely healed, restored as new. It is new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Thank you. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I've seen God give people new hearts. I've seen God give new livers. Just about every organ that I've ever prayed for has been replaced at one time or another. If my memory serves me correctly, kidneys, I've seen him not only replace them, I've seen him place them in there when there wasn't none.
Yeah.
So praise God. So I know he can do it and will do it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anything else?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? You got something you want to say, Wade?
Yes. I have a friend in Bangladesh who recently got married, but he's lost his job, and he's afraid for his life, and he's afraid for his wife, losing his wife, or that he might die. Because I don't think they have the security like in the United States and Bangladesh. So his name is Martin. He goes by the name of Martin. I don't know what his real name is.
His family hates him
because he became a Christian from Islam.
Oh.
So,
okay.
So his name is Martyn. Is how he goes.
All right. And you say is he baptized in the Holy Spirit and believes the word?
I know he believes the word. As far as being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I guess I haven't been thorough enough in talking to him about that.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. How do you talk to him?
Internet.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Martin and his wife to you and his family to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your divine protection upon him. We are promised that in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. And Lord, we ask that you give Martin and his wife great and bold faith to believe what your word says, that you're supernaturally going to take care of them, move them, talk with him, Lord, and show him where you want him. Lord, if he's in the right place, that's fine. You give him the peace in his heart to know that he's under your protection. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, if you want him to move, make it known to him where you want him to go. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. Wherever you want him, Lord, we ask that you put him in your will in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I believe
Jesus,
that.
Amen.
I believe that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray for my wife. She's going for blood work, whatever that is, tomorrow, and some other things, some other kind of tests and things, and she's kind of worried about it. But what we do is, I encourage her and tell her she's under God's care and she doesn't have to worry about these kind of things. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Jeanette to you, and I ask, Lord, that you put a peace in her heart. Give her a good night's sleep, Lord, that tomorrow, I know she still depends on the doctors, Lord, but that's where she is in her faith. And, Lord, I just thank you for bringing her out of that, Lord, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place that bold faith in her. It doesn't make any difference what the doctor says. She's healed in Jesus' name, and we praise you for it, Father. Lord, we just ask that you do a mighty work in her, a mighty work. And, Lord, you know what I'm talking about, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe that with me? She's not going to have a bit of problem. Amen. Hey, Merle. Hey, brother. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'd just like everybody to join me in praying for my granddaughter, Lily. She got her finger shut in a door in their place, and it broke, I guess it broke one of the little bones, but It's been 3 or 4 days ago. I understand she's healing well, but I'd like, you know, everybody, or just everybody stand with me and pray that, Lord, her finger will be healed completely, and there will be no more pain, and that she'll never have any troubles with it, and that it'll be a wonderful healing for her, and that there will be no symptoms or no damage after that. Thank you for that, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that little finger. Lord, we just thank you that it's just like David's boy when he broke his shoulder or pulled it out of your whatever it was, that you just automatically healed it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? There's Jackie. Who's that other 402 number there?
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Jackie. What's up?
What's up, brother?
Amen. Jesus.
Amen. Sorry.
Amen.
Hey, Jackie, are you still in Florida?
No, I got your episode. I was gone all day until about 30 seconds ago. I just got in the house.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We're going
to see you. I got your text, but I don't think I'll be able to make it. I'll be with my sister in the nursing home tomorrow.
Okay. We'll bless you. We'll miss you.
Is Marlene going with you?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't know if she was going with me or not. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Lord, we thank you for bringing Jackie home without any problems in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, Judy, as y'all know, that's on here occasionally or all the time, she's headed out to Hawaii. Da-da-da-da-da-da. She's going up to Oahu to visit her with her son. Probably for about a week, and I hope she has. Lord, I just ask that you put a protective wall around her, Lord, that nothing's going to happen to her. She's going to have a great time out there with her son. And, Lord, we just ask that you have Doug back off of her as far as trying to tell her what to do and all that kind of stuff, Lord. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Let it be just an awesome time for both of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? We had an awesome time in prayer yesterday. We generally have our Bible studies on Wednesday mornings, and we had some things come up that we had to pray about, and we just took the whole two and a half.
Oh, finally. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
I couldn't get this to work. I do have one more prayer request, if we can get to it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Julie Tagg had emailed me earlier this week, and she said she talked to you about prayer about her travel, mm-hmm. but she didn't mention that she's wanting to have a little prayer because she's going to be meeting up with her older brother, and her older brother is Larry. And Larry's under this the Lutheran umbrella that I was under, and so she wants to have help with that. Maybe bind these religious spirits when she confronts him. Not that she's confronting him, but that spirit's there. And she also is having some other family members that she said briefly. I have the mother, the woman, and the husband have a kind of a Jezebel, Ahab kind of a thing going, and she's kind of letting them know about it. But so anyway, she's coming across some spirits there. There's religious and otherwise. So
okay, you want to go ahead and pray?
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come on behalf of Julie, and I asked if she wanted prayer. She said she did, so we're all in agreement that she's going to go out there. And meet her brother and the other relations. I'm not quite off the top of my head to remember what they are, but they're close. And this is all based, these people have all these religious backgrounds, and because of that, they have these religious demons holding them in place, and which most of us did. And Father, we ask you to give her the grace and insight to be able to talk to these people, at the same time bind these spirits that might be coming up and to cause division and strife between her and them, so that their truth is not set forth. Give Julie wisdom in what she does say, and how she can, if she has an opportunity to witness, to let that witness go forward to show some light, so that these people can break free from these denominational spirits they're involved in and religious spirits. Father, we ask that you give her that ability to be that light that you'd want her to be, to open these doors, Lord, to allow these people to come into the kingdom of God so they can get away from the apostasy they're in. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, she called in while we were in our prayer meeting yesterday morning, and we all prayed for her then. So, that's good. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? But like I was saying a while ago, we had an awesome time in prayer meeting yesterday morning, and it seems like to me, and I'm sure everybody else felt it too, that we're really coming in one accord, really, really close. And I felt the Holy Spirit the whole time we were there, and the whole time we were praying. We were praying to get some warnings that the Lord had given us about some attacks that may be coming. And the Lord assured us this morning, as a matter of fact, with our words that we got, that he's taken care of it because of our prayers. So we just praise God in that. We've got peace. We have our pot blessing Saturday, and that was one of the warnings that we had, that we may have something happen there. But we thwart the enemy. When God warns, we pray. That's our job. That's everybody prays, and prays in one accord. And when you pray in one accord, the angels go out and they take care of business. We don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's awesome what God's showing us and teaching us how to come into that one accord. We do that a lot of times by just getting in a circle and just praying in the Spirit, you know. And it's sometimes not all the time, but sometimes it's just an awesome presence of God amongst us. And it's starting to get more and more powerful. And, man, I tell you what, I'm praying for revival here. And I think we're going to see it real quick, real soon. Praise God.
You know, Michael, it's interesting you mentioned Saturday, because that's when I started having attacks. I got my dance with fire, and it attacked me from the fire, even though it was partly my fault, but still I got burned.
Yeah.
And then today, I was going to go mow my lawn, and of course, the battery's kind of questionable, so I've been charging it for a while. Had it off the charger for a few days, went to turn it over, and it was dead. I thought, oh, man. And I thought, I didn't feel like pushing this around in the truck, and just held it, and finally it won't stop and act like it's dead, like it's not going to go over. Then all of a sudden, it finally just took right off, started turning, and I thought, oh, great, praise the Lord, just started doing it on its own, didn't pray, and it started up. I thought, okay, I'm good, I'm going, I'm getting going, and I get to the front yard, then it starts missing, acting funny, killing out on me, starting it, blowing smoke everywhere. I thought, oh, they'll blow up the engine now? I'm doing this for about the next 10 minutes, trying to figure out what's going on, get it started, a little bit more, that shut off. Finally wheeled it back, you know, in reverse, and just let it sit there and play with it, and it just finally cleared up. So I'm seeing these attacks happening around me. Plus I've seen my microwave die out. I'm thinking that even though Satan may not be able to get at you guys, I think he's probably going to start attacking the greater UBM if he can. Just a thought.
Let's pray against it. Shoot, I don't want no attack. I don't know if anybody here wants to attack. I don't want no attack. Please don't come no attack on me. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against the attacks on everybody in this outreach fellowship. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are protecting us from these things. We come against any kind of witchcraft or curses spoken against anybody here in Jesus' name. We know it happens, but Lord, we can pray and pray it down. We ask that you send your angels out there to stop all that mess and take care of business, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that as long as we're praying and we're believing, Lord, that you're going to protect us, and I praise you for it, Father. I thank you that everybody on this conference call, even if they're not on here physically, that they're listening tomorrow morning when they hear it, Lord, that they're under the protection too. And I thank you, Lord, that you are thwarting the enemy's attacks on your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, my microwave's not even 7 months old.
Oh. Is it a ride mower?
My ride mower, yeah, that's a used one. But still, I was just thrilled to see the Lord walk in and just all of a sudden, it looked like it was on its last legs, and then it finally started running great again.
Oh.
I knew the Lord was in on this one. We had some fight going on, and I thought, that's wonderful. And I didn't even have to get too much involved other than just watch the Lord just walk in with his angels and take care of it. You know, I just kind of think, well, maybe I'll just touch the engine, you know, and within a few minutes later, working better. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's a good testimony there, but just to make everybody aware that they might see some weird things happen. If you do, it's what's going on.
Amen. Okay, I see Charlie and Linda's in here, and I want to pray for Linda's car. She experienced, she's got a crack in the block on her Subaru. And so we're going to pray for it, and God's going to heal it. Lord, we just lift up Linda's car to you, or SUV to you, Lord. And, Lord, that's all she's got to drive. And, Father, I thank you that from this point on, that engine is going to work fine. Makes no difference if it's got a crack or not, Lord. You're going to make it run fine. I've seen you do this before. I've seen you heal transmissions. I've seen you heal engines. Lord, I know you can heal in Linda's engine. And I thank you for it, Father, that this is her car, and she doesn't have any more problems with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody believe? I believe. Thank you, Lord. That's what we do. We believe. Hey, Charlie. All right. Anybody else? I hope y'all got any. If you listened to the broadcast yesterday, I did a deal off of Andrew Murray on the necessity of prayer. And it was for encouragement for us to do a lot more praying than what we have in the past. Some of you may already be doing a lot, but if you're like me, you know, you sometimes you might hit it for about 10 or 15 minutes and think that's enough. No, God wants us to be in there with him for a while and learn what he wants us to do that day. So I hope it was an encouragement to everybody to do that. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Testimony.
What chapter did you read? What chapter did you read from that with Andrew Murray?
It's called, and it wasn't a necessity of prayer, that was Ian Bowles, but it was called The Prayer Life by Andrew Murray. Prayer Life. I read the first five or six chapters, I forget what it was. And he called it the prayerlessness. The Christian prayerlessness. We don't pray like we should. Most of us. Some of us do. Some of us don't. Most of us don't, actually. And it was just an encouragement because we're coming into this time where we're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the only way to be doing that is through prayer and our association with the Lord. Personal. You know, when you get in your prayer closet, you should be listening for the Lord all the time. Well, we should do it all the time. We should be listening to the Lord all the time. And we should have that type of relationship with Him where we're walking in the day and the Lord speaks to us, hey, you don't need to be doing this or whatever, you know. Or go over there and talk to that guy there. Or go over there and talk to that lady over there. I got something I want to say to him, you know, or whatever. We want that kind of relationship. I do. And it takes getting in the closet with the Lord a lot more than I have in the past, than I have been, you know. Sometimes we get carried away and we think we got to do this or we think we got to do that. No, first thing on our list ought to be in tune with what God wants. That should be what we strive for. Okay. Anybody got any comments on prayer life before we get into this sword and the cross? Okay, Jackie.
I have a testimony.
Okay, yeah.
Is now okay?
Huh?
Is now okay to say it?
Yeah. You go right ahead.
The other night, I asked for prayer for my dog, Spock, because he was having some bloody urine. And I haven't noticed anything since then. It's been all cleared up, and he's going fine, and he's perky and happy. So praise the Lord for his healing. Yay. Hey, Spot.
Amen. Amen. All right, Spot, you heal, boy.
He's healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's an original name, you know?
Yeah, he did his dog.
That's an original name for a Dalmatian that's got Spot. It's Spot. Hey, Spot. Hey, Spot.
Spot, say hi to Michael. Say hi.
Roll
he
over.
He knows Mike.
Roll over. I'm... Sit. Play dead.
And I tell him, I always tell him, Michael's preaching. You got to be quiet so I can hear. But he's a Lord. He's all healed. So thank you all for praying.
Okay. He's a good looking dog.
Yeah, he's
good. I'm glad you got him. I like dogs. I just like them outside.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Anyone else? We had an inside dog one time. I remember my wife did. Daughter had a Lhasa Apso. And man, that little dog, I liked that little old dog. I played with him, you know, and he was a good little dog. He was a house dog. He'd come in, go out, come in and go out, you know. He'd come in at the nighttime. We had him outside during the day. We were off the highway, so we could do that. And another dog ripped him up, saw some years back, killed him. And that was such a letdown for Jeanette, you know, that she didn't want any more. House dog, so we hadn't had one since then. Anyway, anybody else got a praise report or would like to pray about something or a testimony? Yeah, Missy.
another thing that came to my mind from Tuesday was saying about when I went back and visited my family. My former father-in-law, he has this mass on his bladder, and they think it's cancer, but they don't know for sure. He's going to go for a test, and I really don't believe he's saved. So my former mother-in-law, I heard her talking about it, and I asked her, you're talking about Rod Sr., and she said, yeah, so I'd just like to pray for him for salvation more than anything. And when someone's not saved, it's like, and, you know, they don't have faith for that kind of thing to be prayed for healing. How do you pray for a person other than for salvation?
Well, you ask the Lord to use this as a means for salvation.
Right.
Ask the Lord if he could do that.
That I always see, but, you know, okay. Yeah, I understand that part, but sometimes I hear people pray for people who aren't even saved to be healed, and I mean, my thought is, okay, Lord, save them and heal them, you know, but they have to be saved really first to be healed, right?
Not necessarily. If the Lord's going to save them,
right.
If he's going to use the healing as a saving mechanism, that's what he'll do. But
yeah,
you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to do that, you know.
Right. But the person has to know that it was the Lord that did it, not a doctor, for the Lord to use that.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you have to go up there physically and pray for him and let him know that you're praying for him, that God's going to heal him.
Right.
And you have to know that it's God that's in it, not Missy. And if you know
right.
that it's God that's in it, or Merle, or whoever goes to pray for him, that if the Lord tells you to do it, when you go up there and pray for him, you can believe he's healed. I
right.
guarantee you, I've seen that happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like being led of the Lord to do that, you know, or anything. I mean,
okay.
he's like 3.5 hours away, and I hardly ever see him or anything like that. Like I said, he's my boy's grandfather on his father's side. So
yeah.
Anyway, so Father, I just ask you in the name of Jesus to grant Rod Senior repentance unto salvation, Lord, and to heal him, and Lord, that he know that it's you that healed him, and just use this, I ask you, Lord, to draw him to yourself, Lord. Remind him, Father, that his own father was saved just a brief time before he passed away, and remind him of how many times he had cancer, but that he did not pass away until he repented and believed in you, Lord. And help him to remember that, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that that you will save him. And I ask you also for Sue, his wife, Lord, that you grant her repentance unto salvation too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we ask that you use this as a mechanism to save him. And we thank you for it, Father. Bring him to complete salvation, Lord. And you know what I'm talking about. That's healing. And also for his spirit and for his soul, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. That he's going to be a mighty testimony to his family. And his family's going to be saved too. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Who was this? Debbie, I think, it brought up the subject for tonight's conference call, and that was, what do we do if somebody attacks us? I mean, what do we do? What are we supposed to do if things go wrong around us and we want to defend ourselves or defend our family physically? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do, as a Christian I'm talking about, what does the scripture say? And I'm just going to open it up now. And if you got some comments and you want to talk about what the scripture says, I'm going to let everybody talk. Now, I sent out the sword and the cross to everybody, and I hope everybody took and looked at it and got a feeling for what God says. Yeah, I sent it to you, Missy. Well, I think what I've got, Missy, is I think I've got two or three emails for you, and I just whatever one came up, that's the one I used. So, and I was hoping it was the right one. But anyway, the sword or the cross is what I sent out. Now, let's open it up here. What do you think? What's this about somebody comes at your door, beating on your door, or somebody comes against you or your husband or your wife? What do you do? I'm talking about people that are not saved. they come against you. What do you do? What do we do?
Call on the name of Jesus.
Call on the name of Jesus, okay. Is there anything we need to do before this happens? That's maybe what I'm needing to say. Here's what I was getting at. We as Christians should be praying God's protection upon our families all the time. We should be having the Lord throw up a wall of protection around us as we are walking in the will of God. And somebody said, well, what would you do if somebody came up and put a pistol to you wife's head, what would you do if you walked in? If you walked in your house and this was going on, and I tell them it's not going to happen. They said, well, what do you mean? It ain't going to happen. I said, because I've been praying God's protection on my family. And if you pray God's protection on your family, in your household I'm talking about, in your particular household, you have God's protection. There ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Well, what if? Well, what if God came off the throne? It ain't going to happen. But, okay, let's go to another scenario. What if you don't know that and you walk in your house and somebody's beating up your daughter or your son or something like that? What do? Well, you get them apart first, okay? You get them apart and then you pray. You pray. What does the Lord say in His Word? Y'all remember what He says in His Word? I sent everybody this. I hope everybody at least read over it. We turn the other cheek, don't we? First thing you do, you try to get out of there. Get your son or your daughter, whatever it is, you get them out of there. Get them out of that type of situation. You don't have to hit anybody. You can pull them apart, whatever. But then you sit them down, you start talking to them, you start praying. First thing you do, y'all just start praying. You should be praying before it happens. That way it won't happen. But if it doesn't, you pull them apart, but you start praying. And then whatever happens, it happens. You can't. The Word is very explicit on it. Resist not him that is evil. Isn't that right? Resist not him that is evil. Turn the other cheek. Because then the glory of God will be manifested in those who will resist not him that is evil, but will turn the other cheek and permit the dirt to do its job. No one else can drive the nails. And he's talking about crucifying you on the cross. Yeah. Do you have something, Denny or Debbie?
No.
Okay.
Pray.
Yes. Pray. What the Word says about all of this, in 2 Corinthians 4:11, I'm just going to go down through here just a little bit. Well, let's just start at the beginning. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Even though the true saints will not agree with much that is about to happen in this world, they will not take the sword of man and break their covenant with God as the apostates. Who are the apostates? That's the ones who call themselves Christians and aren't walking the walk. And break their covenant with God as the apostates and their leadership will. God's plan for His people is demonstrated by Jesus. What did Jesus do when they came against Him? He went to the cross without saying a word, didn't He? That's because it was Father's will. In order for Him to go to the cross, He couldn't say anything. He couldn't do anything. What did He tell, who was it? It was Herod or Pilate, one or the other. I believe it was Herod. He said, man, don't you know that I have the keys to your life or your death? He said, you can do nothing. If my father said, you could do it. He said, he was telling somebody else he had power and authority to bring 12 legions of angels down there. It didn't take but one to kill 185,000. So God had a reason for Jesus going to the cross because it was a type and a shadow for us to go to our cross, right? And then he says in Luke 10:3, I said, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wool. In God's plan, this is the plan of God. Why do persecutions come on us anyway? Why do these trials come on us? Yeah, Andrew.
It's to test us whether we're going to lose it or not. And you have to, just the other day, you know, the bus driver, I thought she was being a little bit too forceful to get back behind the yellow line there, you know. And I felt something come up in me, and I went, yes, okay, I'll get back behind the line, and I'm sorry, ma'am, that I did that. But I didn't want to do that. I was angry on the inside, but I managed to control it. And when I got off the bus, I thought, you know, she has to pull up to the curb, this big bus. Maybe she's a new employee, you know. And it's like one of those extenda buses, too. And, you know, she has to make it to the curb and not hit it with the tire. And I was going, well, I'm glad she's driving and not me. So I actually thought about it a little bit more. And I actually thought about that time when I was witnessing about to that guy at work about creation. And he gave me a real good tongue lashing, because he's not even a Christian, and he believes in some of this new age religion that's out there, something very new in the last couple of years. And he gave me a good tongue lashing, but you know, today we get along, and you know, he knows what I'm like, and he actually saw that I did do that not to to come against him, but more of a concern for him. And that's the sense he got from it after. So that was pretty good. Maybe he could think about that twice enough. Anyways, just when they start lashing out at you, you just got to take each one. And I guess that's practice if they ever do try to physically harm you. I wouldn't want that, you know. It's just if you react to trying to defend yourself with that tongue lashing, then what would you do if it was actually a physical thing, you know? And like we hear of overseas and in other countries, and well, that's it.
Well, that's absolutely true. He set these trials and these persecutions on us to do one thing, and that's to mature us. It's to bring patience into our lives. To have patience and long suffering is what he said. And we talked about going through the fruits of the Spirit here a while back, and maybe we should. But long suffering and love and all of the fruits of the Spirit come into that position. Yeah, Andy.
See, I meant to add that because I was discussing creation with him, I was ready for anything to come against me, but I really thought he was understanding what I was talking about, because I used some of the Ken Hovind stuff there, but when you're not prepared, like on the bus there, I wasn't prepared for that, you know. I wasn't thinking about anything about the Lord at the time. I was just thinking about getting off the bus, and that's when anger aroused, and then it was like a quick check in me that stopped it. And it's kind of like that, you know, when you're going to work amongst all the people that don't know the Lord, they're not born again. With me, I sometimes find that I have to be praying a lot, and you know, maybe a minute or two here, and then go on to do your job. And that's how it's with me, anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know if any of you know. I know Anna does and Tim, but lambs, they just walk right on into a slaughter, man. They don't, that doesn't bother them. You know, you could cut their throat, you know, wolves, all that stuff. They just, I mean, just lay down. And that's what God wants us to do as far as this persecution, tribulation comes on us. The glory of God, David says, will be manifested in those who will resist not that him that is evil, but will turn the other cheek and permit the dirt, as we've been buried in the ground, right? Where they're sown into the ground, and permit the dirt to do its job. No one else can drive the nails, friend. You're unable to do it, and other Christians shouldn't do it. It is God's plan to use the harlot and the beast to crucify our old man. Acts 2 and 23. Him, that's Jesus, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye, by the hand of lawless men, did crucify and slay. And then in chapter 4, 27. For of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained, God foreordained it, to come to pass. And so through death to self at their hands, the world will see Jesus in us, like Andrew was talking about, and we will be enabled to fulfill the Great Commission. When we do, as Andrew did the other day, and don't come back, and you know, when that does rise up in us, just quench it and overcome. That's fruit right there. That's the fruit that God's looking for. It's not building churches and stuff. It's the fruit of Jesus Christ in your walk with him day to day. That's the fruit that God's looking for. In the days when God's people were ruled over by the Roman beast, it was written in Romans 13 and 1, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. That's what happens when you come against the authority. Yeah, Merle. All right. Though Christians are forbidden to take the mark and image of the beast, they are also forbidden to take up arms against secular nations over them. This puts the people of God in a position of weakness, just like Jesus when he submitted to his cross instead of fighting. That's what we're to do. Anybody want to comment on what we're talking about here? Come on now. Help me out. All right, Denny. Debbie?
Say something, yeah. This really started, I'm thinking about this a lot. Started last summer when I was talking to my daughter about one of my sisters talking about getting a gun and all that, and you know, things that are going on around in this world, and keep yourself safe and your family, and I was telling my daughter about it. I really didn't expect the answer that I got from her. I thought all Christians believed that you don't retaliate, you don't fight, that you just don't fight and defend yourself in that way, you know, where you're gonna shed blood. And I honestly thought that that's what the way Christians just think. I always have thought that as a Christian, so I was kind of like, whoa, really? And I don't know where my daughter got that belief, but we've never taught it to her. And so I've been thinking on that a lot. I find it a very interesting study whenever I come across the scriptures, and we listen to David's preaching. It's very interesting. And true. Very true.
Well, listen, in most denominations, they teach take up arms.
I found that out. Yep.
Yeah, in most of them, they do. The Christian patriot spirit is prevalent out there. And, you know, come against the left, you know, whatever it takes, you know. And that's completely unscriptural. God doesn't want us to do that. What's our job?
I haven't heard
as, what's that?
I haven't really been exposed to any extreme.
Oh, man, just look at TV.
Hey, I mean, it's a big difference between, you know, saying you want some arms to, you know, bear your right and just be protected from home invasions and whatever happens, because it does happen. What's wrong with that?
Well, because the word says, just as I said earlier, and you might not have been on, Kevin, they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword.
No,
resist not him that is evil. Turn the other cheek.
Well, you know, it's not for, it should be, you know, martyrdom should be for the gospel, not for just like any random criminal, right? I mean, Jesus didn't teach that. He said.
He didn't teach what?
He didn't teach to just subject your, you know, let yourself just like be killed by a criminal and it's like for no reason all of a sudden.
Well, let me ask you a question. What did Jesus do?
Well, what he did is he said, well, you know, now that I'm leaving, things are different. So this time I do tell you, take up your money bags and sell your tunics for a sword. And they said, are these enough? And he said, yeah, it's enough. But it's not to live by the sword. To live by the sword is to be like Islam and have conquest and to dominate and live by it, right? Totally different.
No, wait a minute. Wait, you're missing. You're missing.
All confused.
No.
Not you. This people.
What the word? What the? Well, what I'm saying is this: the word is very explicit. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Now listen to this. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. The glory of God is going to be manifested in those that resist not him that is evil. And they're going to turn the other cheek, just like Jesus said. He wanted us to walk in his steps,
amen.
Right?
Yeah, turn the other cheek, not attack, not return evil for evil, of course.
I'm
talking about the difference between, like, Apostle Paul's example. Did he go to the city gate to be captured on purpose or expose himself to a crowd to be stoned, or did he jump in a basket and try to keep going?
Okay, that's entirely different. Now, he said you can run from your enemies, you know, you can do that, but you just can't come against him. You can't attack him. You can't shoot him. And as far as your household, we should be praying for our household. We should be praying God's protection on it. And if you're doing that and you're diligent in doing that, you're not going to have a problem.
So we should just allow the police to protect us if they happen to be close, hopefully, and let them do our protect our families.
You protect your family. Do you not think that God can protect your family?
Of course he can.
Sure. So that's what we do. We pray and we ask God's protection upon our families. And then we believe by faith that that's going to happen. And when you do that, there ain't nothing going to happen. You know, somebody says, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, it's not going to happen because I've been praying God's protection upon my family. And I believe by faith he's doing it. There's a hedge of protection around it. I've seen tornadoes that were coming straight at my house. I've seen, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, the question, I don't question the power of God. I question if, you know.
If he's going to do it for you?
God, no. That God may not see that it's so important to intervene, but he would rather you not die, and it's not for the gospel as a martyr. You have a guy with a gun walking to the church killing people. God doesn't want that. And it can be for the glory of God to have persecution, but it's, we don't seek it out either and don't just try to be martyred. Like, we martyred for righteousness' sake. We want to be martyred for righteousness' sake and not just run towards it. Like Islam, they think it's martyrdom to go running after people and to be killed. Which well, really
That's the difference between Islam and Christendom, or true Christendom, I should say. We don't take up arms against our enemies at all. Not at all. We don't. We can't murder. We can't come against our enemies. If you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6, it tells us how we are to walk and talk in this world. And we are God's light. We don't bring bloodshed into the kingdom. You can't do that. We are to die to self, and to die to self means if persecution and trials come upon you, they're for a reason. Okay.
Right. Can
we read your passages real quick, Kevin, on Luke?
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to read it. Well, you're gonna see something you never saw before.
Oh, really?
All right. Yeah. I'm going to read it first.
Well, you don't know what I've seen or my position. I'm just asking.
Well, I'm just going to say something here. Let me read it.
I was going to ask the interpretation of Luke 22 and through what you posted right there, the difference there and why Jesus said that and like what that's, you know, I'm wondering what that's about.
All right, let's look at it.
This is what it was. And you talked about being sent out with a wallet and a purse, and then he talks about picking up a buying a sword. Let's go to that. Luke 22:35. And he said unto them, when I sent you forth without a purse and a wallet and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Then he says, and he said to them, but now, he that has a purse, let him take it. And likewise, a wallet, and he that has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I say unto you, that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was reckoned with the transgressors. For that which concerned me hath been fulfilled. And they said to him, Lord, behold, we have two swords. And he says, that is enough. It is enough. What is enough to be? It's enough to be a transgressor now. They have two swords. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. That's it. What? Well, thank you, David.
What he's trying to tell you. You just read that over, and you'll see that what he's talking about, being a transgressor. He's talking about being with transgressors. He told you that you're basically not using your faith anymore, and you're trying to say, oh, yeah, go take care of yourself now. I'm gone.
Well, he says, for I say unto you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. Jesus speaking, he was reckoned with the transgressors. He was hung with the thief on the cross. He was reckoned as a transgressor. He died like a transgressor, but he's buried like with the rich, with the tomb.
You don't think you're going to be a transgressor if you use a sword to kill somebody?
I think, what?
Do you think that the Lord...
I didn't say anything about killing people proactively.
I'm just telling you, that's what he's telling you. That's the transgressor when you pick up the sword.
Yeah, he told us that when he said, when you pick up your sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Right, for that which concerns
him. He's not going to go against what he's already told you.
There's a big difference. I mean, why do they have swords at all then?
Who?
All the disciples and him.
I didn't say they did. Who did? Who said they did?
Well, right here he's talking about swords, and besides that, if that somehow is abstract or something, or whatever interpretation you have of that, you have Peter incorrectly and wrongly trying to defend Jesus, because this isn't his kingdom, but he tried defending him like it is, and cutting the servant's ear off.
And what did he tell him?
He said, don't do that. Am I not supposed to enter into my, take this cup the Lord's given me to die? The point is, it obviously wasn't appropriate for him to do that. But he had swords, so why didn't Jesus tell him to get rid of the sword 3 years ago?
Kevin?
Why do they have swords at all?
What we're doing here is the Lord has told us to turn the other cheek. He's told us, if you have a sword, you use the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Okay? And if you do that, if you take the sword up, then you're going to die by the sword. You're not going to, you know.
I thought living by the sword means a lot more than just defensively, of course, but I'm not some sort of gung-ho person here, but I guess his disciples had a sword just for show, just to intimidate, right? Because they're never going to use them.
Now, did they have them after Jesus left? No, they didn't have. They didn't have anything. All of them, as a matter of fact, all of them got killed. They didn't fight against the people that came against them. They didn't fight at all against them. As a matter of fact, all of them were martyred except for, of course, John.
If I'm a cop, should I be allowed to do it, or?
You know, that's something that you have to take up with the Lord.
Right.
If you're at some point in time, you're going to come to maturity in Christ if you're walking the way that God wants you to walk. I'm not saying, look, whatever your conscience tells you to do, you go ahead and do it. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, you know. And the Word of God says to turn the other cheek. The Word of God render to no man evil for evil. Mm-hmm. And when you, if somebody comes evil against you and you render evil back to him, you've taken God out of the picture. Because God said his vengeance is a whole lot better than yours.
I read that today. It says if you give place for the wrath of God, he says, you know, vengeance is mine. You know, feed your enemy, help them well, you know, only return good for the evil, as best you can. And then it says...
That's not what it said. It doesn't say the best you can.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. then, what, are you supposed to halfway do it or something?
No.
Give them, it says feed your enemy. It says pray for enemy.
Bless them, yeah.
And it says bless your enemy.
Yeah.
And it says, and so you'll be reaping coals on his head.
Yeah.
And I guess that means you're just kind of you're making it obvious that you're not stooping to his level of returning evil for evil. So you're not in the same boat. And God's wrath, it's all up to God, and God's going to see the difference. You know, it's God's wrath, his revenge. You know, if he wants to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, the way Jesus walked on the earth is the way we're supposed to walk. That's what he told us to do. He said the things. The Father told me to do, that's what I'm doing, and that's what you're supposed to do too. He said, be ye holy, even as my Father in heaven is holy. Be ye perfect, I'm sorry. Be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I would remind that the Scripture does say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, your neighbor as yourself. He also tells you to love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, and to pray for them. And another thing is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. So the Lord is even in control of it. The person who is coming against you, who's giving you the tongue lashing, so that you can have some of your flesh burned off. And if you have to love even your enemy and love your neighbor who might be far off as a Christian, or not even a Christian, he might be a Jew or a Muslim, and you got to love the Lord your God with all heart, mind, and soul, who can you hate? Nobody. And if you're going to not be combative with the person, hopefully the person will see that you're not combative with them.
I got a question.
Good.
Real quick. I guess I can, if it's a problem, I won't ask anymore. What's your interpretation? There's two different instances of it, actually. I guess they're very differently used. Apostle Paul handed over Alexander and Emmaus over to the Satan, that they may not blaspheme.
What was your question?
I don't know what it is. Like, what's that?
What he did. This was a Christian brother that did that, right? That he handed over to Satan. He said, and if you finish the verse, he said, so that his soul might be saved on judgment day. And so what he does, he's turned people. You've turned people over as God allows.
Hmm. Right. Well, there's two different examples of the turning over of the saint for the destruction of the flesh. There's one of the person who was in the church who sinned, who had relations with his father's wife. That was the one where it says that his spirit may be saved for the day.
Right.
But then the other one is Alexander and Himeas, that they may not learn to blaspheme, and it doesn't say anything about being saved.
Okay. Well, you know yourself, if somebody comes against you for doing something, I'm talking about an unsaved person, you're not going to do that again, you know. And that's what he was trying to do. He was bringing God's, he was asking God to do that for him so that this person will learn not to do that anymore. Go ahead. Dave, did you have something?
No, I was just thinking about some good teachings, but yeah, basically all this is just about burning up the flesh.
Yeah.
And it's a practice. It's not something that maybe has to happen instantaneously, but when we start to recognize the situations we're in where that's what the Lord's requiring of us is to overcome our ego or pride, whatever it is, and just eat it like Andy was talking about. That helps us to overcome, be more Christ-like. And we're basically talking about when you came in, Kevin, which kind of helps understand this. We're reading The Sword and the Cross, which is an article that was on the website, and it kind of covers some of this. And it's going through in case, you know, these situations happen and how we're supposed to deal with it. And that kind of, it's probably good that you're asking because we're involved in that right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Let you know why we're on this topic.
It's a maturing process when you learn to walk in peace. Go ahead, Missy.
Go ahead, Merle.
As Christians, we need to learn to live a crucified life, and like the Lord did. I mean, he of course died on the cross, but even in his human life, it was a crucified life. So it's not revenge or vengeance, or it's allowing the Lord in you, operating in you, because you have this life within to not protecting yourself. Same thing. There was a hymn by Watchman Nee called "Contemplating the Grapevine." It's huge, like 16 verses, but it tells you how rough the grapevine went through its whole process, whether it was the trimming and the whether in the growing and all this, the weather and the winter and all this, but it created such the what produced out of that was the grapes, and it's for our maturity as we mature in Christ.
Amen. Well, you know, God protects those that are mature in this process that we're talking about here. And he can give rest to those who need to submit to that cross. In Romans 12 and 17, listen to this. And I'm going to read through 21. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves. That's a key one right there, beloved. But give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That old man wants to live by defending ourselves and retaliating. But when we obey these commands, that crucifies that carnal nature that's in us. And we go to the cross, as Jesus talks about, and we have fruit now. He says, you ain't going to heaven if you don't bear fruit, at least 30, 60, or 100 fold. Not 29 and a half. It's got to be at least 30 fold. And by that, he's talking about dying to the self, dying to the carnal nature. And when these things come up, God has placed them in front of us to decide how we're going to decide if we're going to bear fruit, or are we going to try to take care of things ourselves? Are we going to allow God to do it? And that's the process of maturing in Christ. Jeremy, did you have something you'd like to say? I thought I saw you raise your hand a while ago.
I was telling Ken to turn the light on. You know, but actually, when I came in real quick, I just kind of made me curious. Kevin, were you showing them, because you came in with turning over destruction of the flesh, were you showing them what I think you were? Did he share screens with you all?
Negative.
Watch this.
It's got nothing to do with it, right.
Okay, watch this. If you don't rightfully divide, the Word of God, then you'll have a whole lot of leaven that'll produce nothing but, well, literally the synagogue of Satan. So, check this out.
You've got the short version that just has the scriptures before and after?
Yeah. I'm not going to do the scriptures. I'm just going to show this.
Of course.
All right, let's go. I love these. I can't see anything with this thing up here. Okay. Watch this. Now, this guy's in the deliverance ministry. Okay. And I don't know how this is slipping out or whatever, but people are posting videos of him now. And this is his philosophy of that verse.
Like, if you come to me and you say...
Hold on. Back here real quick. Let me try again.
Maybe you're pretty much right on. The speaker. That's where it starts.
Yeah, but the speakers aren't coming out.
Share audio.
Hold on.
No, this guy has a lot of people he's trying to teach, and he gets a lot of good searches. He comes up first on the search. He might have paid for it. I don't know. And I know a lot of people that have left his ministry, and we've dealt with him for years and had to argue with him over this.
All right. Now, this is his philosophy when you don't rightfully divide the Word of God.
Come to me. Like, if you come to me and you say, get rid of my demons for me, and you like, yep, okay, you're wrong, Lord, you this, Lord, I've learned this, Lord, I've been in church for 20 years, I'm a Christian too, Lord. Okay, you know what? I'm very inclined to send more demons to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I don't think they learned a lesson, Lord. Please send more demons onto that person. Yeah. I can't pray that. I don't get attacked by demons, okay? Like, and that's because I try to stick to the Bible as best as I can, and it works for me. And I want to share that with you.
So, he could send more demons to you if he doesn't agree with you and you challenge his doctrine, right? To him, that's turning you over to the destruction of your flesh, turning you over to Satan, as opposed to just leaving you be because the God of this world already has you. He's now going to cast things upon you.
You know what that is, don't you? That's witchcraft.
Yeah. If he counters somebody who is struggling with sin, whether it may even be pretty mild, and he's said, oh, you're struggling with this too long. I already told you to stop. You can't do it under your own power. You didn't stop. You know, Jesus isn't your Lord. He's told this to people. And he hasn't had much patience. And then he eventually says he just turns him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, send more demons to him.
He craves that. You know, so, but see, that's the kind of ministries that are out there. And obviously he's kind of a rogue, you know what I mean? But he's on YouTube. And when you start building up for the ignorant, for those that don't know the Word of the Lord, that's just a new proselyte that's just coming in, just, you know, realize, had their eyes opened up to the spiritual, and they do a search, and he shows up on Google, he has information there. You go and check him out, and all of a sudden he teaches this doctrine, so they're going around casting witchcraft on people because I think that's what it means.
Yeah. Tim, did you have something?
Well, yeah, a little earlier on, and you know, when Kevin was bringing up, you know, the defending yourself and stuff, I was searching for this teaching, and in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it talks about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. And it says, now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So we're not a natural man. We don't act like natural men. We're spiritual men. And so the things that seem natural to the old man are not the way that we behave anymore. You know, I was as natural as they get, and, you know, for a long time, and you better not cross me. And so I know where you're coming from, Kevin, but we grew up out of that. And,
well, I'm not coming from anything. I asked not to be judged. I asked a question. I just want to make conversation. Not like that.
Well, I'm not judging you. I'm saying that we've probably all been there, but I was one of the worst, you know,
right.
As far as defending myself. You know, I was the first to stand up to somebody. And
yeah.
But, you know, that's not the way that we're supposed to live in Jesus. And so I just wanted to let you know, bring that up, that we're spiritual men now, not natural men.
Amen.
You know, I was kind of sparked on by you were talking about the, you know, always following the authorities, otherwise you're judged, even condemned maybe. And that's what kind of was getting me thinking. And obviously the authorities can go haywire and make you, you know, want to make you worship the beast eventually, right? So.
Yeah, but God is in control of the vessels of dishonor, just like he is in control of the vessels of honor. So we're to subject ourselves to the authorities.
That's the reason that we're to die to self. If you're died to self and you're completely walking into the will of God every day, what you pray is going to happen. And if you pray protection upon yourself and your family, it's going to happen. You're not going to have to worry about that. If those things come in front of you, these trials that come in front of us, God's in control. He's a sovereign God. Everything that comes in front of me, happens with me, that happens to me, is for one purpose. That's to mature me in Christ. Am I going to overcome, or am I going to go and try to settle it myself? And when you try to settle it yourself, you're going to mess up. You'll have to go through that trial again. And it makes no difference what the trial is. It makes no difference what it is. The circumstances that come on us are for that one of two reasons. And that, well, actually, it's just one reason. That's to mature us as a child of God into the man of God or woman of God that he wants us to do. He's trying to, the Lord is making sons of God, sons of men out of each one of us. And we can either accept what the word says, or we can try to fight against it, and you'll be going around and around that mountain over and over and over again. Yeah, David.
I can kind of share along with what Tim was saying about my personal experience. See, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, and I practiced for many years. I was in Taekwondo because I had that root of bitterness in me, had no trust for anybody, and all I had in my mind was get even or hurt people. The reason why I got in Taekwondo, because I was so out there in my mind as far as just anger. When I got into Taekwondo, it helped me focus my anger, and I was telling Michael about this, where now I could control it, and I could actually put it in directions I needed to. I could either hurt or I could kill. But I had control on it this way, and it was a very fine art, and I knew I had that power, that fine power of being able to fight anybody I wanted to, anytime I wanted to, and I would win, pretty much. I got really good. But it was.
I got a question, David.
Go ahead.
To interrupt you. What do you do about an old country boy like me just pulls out a gun and shoots you?
Right. If you're close enough. We used to practice with guns and knives, and so if you're close enough, I can probably get you.
Keep it distant.
And if you're not that, but the point is, you read your opponent always. You're always aware of your environment. They teach you those things. They teach you eye contact. They teach you body movement. Maybe they can kind of give you an idea how to read people before even in a situation. I had that ability. So if I knew I was coming into something dangerous, I would know just by looking at what was happening.
Yeah, Kurt.
What about the story of Job?
Yeah, hang on just a minute. Let's let Dave finish his testimony, and we'll go into that.
So anyways, the process of me getting into the black belt, I mean, I got to that place where I was really good, but inside I knew I was just dying. I knew I was dying. And I had been a Christian years ago, but I kind of fell to the wayside, came back into the church, realized it was a Lutheran church, it was a structured church, it wasn't for me anymore, but I was still searching for something to try to maintain, like I told Michael, that Hulk inside of me that wanted to explode. This kind of helped me control that exploding Hulk. I had controlled violence, basically, is what I had. But I still had all the anger and resentment and bitterness inside of me. And then eventually, I went to a church that was supposed to be like kind of like a full gospel in a sense, but we went verse by verse, line by line. I thought, great, I'm going to start learning scriptures. Maybe that'll start helping me get over my problems, you know, full of demons. Well, he was kind of, you know, very patriotic too, in a sense. That patriotism, we talked about that spirit, and that's about the time the Muslims are starting to ramp things up around the world. And I was thinking, man, you know, maybe we should get some guns and hold them. He says, yeah, I'm thinking about getting a concealed weapons for myself. And I went out and got myself a nice little pistol, and I had a place to put it concealed, and that was one other step up. And then, you know, the whole idea, things snowballed my life, got worse and worse, and eventually stumbled upon UVM when I was almost at rock bottom. And then I started listening to these teachings about, you know, basically not necessarily the cross and the sword, but many, to understand how the crucified in the flesh is. You can't love somebody if you're going to kill them, basically. You know, you can't love somebody if you want to beat them up or shoot them. You know, worse than that, you can send somebody to hell and be responsible for that, because you're supposed to have saved people, not kill them. So if you're going to go out there and take people out, hey, what if that person went to hell? Now you're responsible for sending that person there. And it's like, I had to get to the point in my life where I thought, you know, I can't have this handgun anymore, because all I wanted to do, I mean, I had 100 rounds of hollow points and 500 rounds for target practice, and all I could think was, how big is that? How's that hollow point? How big of a hole is it going to leave in somebody when I shoot them? That was the whole purpose of having the gun. So, realistically, I had to come to terms with that, and thinking the only reason why I have the gun, as much as I like it, is just to kill somebody. I had to get rid of my gun. I quit practicing Taekwondo. It made you feel empty, but at the same time, all it did was make you feel like you had this unseen power that wasn't there. You had this authority over people that you didn't need to have. It wasn't being humble, it was being strong. You know, everything's about making you strong to stand up to your threats in this world. And that's not how a disciple can be. You can't be a disciple and be strong like that. So that was my life and helped some things I had to overcome.
So now do you use that Taekwondo or whatever it is to defend yourself anymore?
I haven't practiced Taekwondo in about 12 years. I've gone to a couple of meets sometimes just to see how they're doing and meet some old friends, but I don't have any desire to get back into it. If I did, if for anything, it'd be for exercise. And the other day I tried to do a little bit right away. I had that spirit of like, this ain't right, come on me. And so I just thought, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a spirit. It really is. Kevin, I like your picture, brother. I just love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you think? You think it'd be okay to block, Dave? It'd be okay to block yourself? Block?
I think it. You know, if you can block to run, do it. Yeah. But not necessarily block to stay there to take advantage of it. But just you know. But at the same time, I don't know. You know, like the disciples, the apostles, what they went to the cross. That's a pretty hard question to answer. I talked about last Tuesday. All those Copic Christians that were shot in Egypt, they marched them off one by one on a bus and asked them to renounce Christ and swear allegiance to Allah before they shot them all, each and every one, from the oldest all the way down to the children. And every one didn't renounce their faith. So it's an interesting thing we're into right now, this environment. I don't know if you're going to really, if it gets violent enough, any kind of martial arts is going to be available that's going to help you. It's just run.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of confusing. I don't mean to make this a big controversy or anything, but yeah. You know, also Paul, when he was talking to, I think, Felix or some other governor, he's like, you know, I hope everyone would believe, you know, whether you're an authority figure or anything else. And then he says God made the authorities and that they're a terror to bad works and evildoers and bear the sword for such. So if they became Christian, you know, that's a hopeful thing to all become Christian. And then the authorities are Christian, too. I guess it's still okay for them to punish evil because it's a corporate decision, not a personal individual basis, right? For the community and greater good.
Well, no, that's why we've got governments up there. Not all the people in government are saved and understand the cross and what it entails in each one of us. As a matter of fact, most of them don't, if any of them understand that aspect of it. God places people in government to take care of business, okay? We don't have to.
So me and you and God is hoping that they don't get saved so that they can take care of business?
No.
Corporately? To kill?
No. Don't turn around what I said now. What I said was God has these people in place, in authority. I'll give you, for instance, now you're talking about
I hope they all get saved. And if they all get saved, yeah. then they're not gonna protect us from evil doings. I'm worried.
If we pray for them, God will do that. We've been doing that for Trump. Praying that God would use him as the president during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, if that so happens here shortly. And because if you have someone else other than what Trump is, because Trump does have some sense of understanding and a like for Christians.
Right.
You know, some sense. Whereas you take the left, they don't, you know, that's, you're out the window as far as they're concerned. They're Satanists, most of them. But yeah, we pray for them. Go ahead, Kevin, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, if the authorities, if the police or the judge becomes Christian, God appoints him to be a terror to evil works and evildoers, and he bears the sword for such, will he no longer be affected to bear the sword for evildoers for the greater good of the community to have corporate punishment? If he becomes Christian, he can no longer corporate punish.
Well, when he gets into that knowledge, okay, you're accounted righteous for what you know, okay? You are righteous for everything that you know. And if you're seeking God and you learning and learning and learning, you're going to come to the point to where, as a policeman, you're going to have to step down.
Yeah. I mean, there's a big difference between corporate punishment. I'd rather people get locked up. And it's about the instance where they're loose and they're killing people, women and children, if the police officer can stop them or not. I guess we hope he's not saved because then otherwise he wouldn't help.
No, well, you're making something real complex. It's not really complex.
I'm just trying to follow it down the route of the inevitable direction I'm trying to figure it out how it works.
Yeah.
If I can't become a cop or something, or maybe I shouldn't even preach a cop. I don't know.
We're not under the law. If you don't know that you can't do things, then you're not held accountable for that. That's what the word says. You're still righteous before God's eyes, but there comes a point as your studies take you, if you are running after God with your whole heart, you're going to find out that you can't do the things that policemen do, and that's kill folks and manhandle them and that kind of thing. They're going to have to do something else. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with policemen. I've seen it happen with security guards in prisons where they turn to Christ and they have to quit because they can't do that. Go ahead, Missy. I can't hear you.
Okay. What comes to my mind is that God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
There's vessels of dishonor. Those God made, he's the potter, we're the clay. He makes one vessel of honor and one vessel of dishonor. He says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated.
He uses the vessel of dishonor to be the ones who never come to Christ to keep the law of the land, and they're the ones that take up arms and they use the arms to shoot people, kill people, hurt people, whatever, to follow the law. But once you're a Christian and you understand that that's wrong, to return evil for evil and not turn the other cheek, and once you come into that knowledge, you're held accountable for that, and you must obey that, or the Lord will discipline you for that. If you, God forbid.
Well, you made everything was good except for one thing. You said that they will never come to Christ. No, that's not necessarily true.
A Christian can be a
vessel of dishonor.
Right. But yeah. What I'm saying is there's ones that haven't been chosen. They're mm-hmm. not predestined. They're not chosen. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's ones that are chosen and ones that are not chosen. That's what I meant by that.
Okay.
And so anyway, but yeah, God never, he, you know, like you were saying, Michael, we're held accountable for what we know. To him that knows do sin and doeth it not, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him that sin. But once we come into that knowledge that thou shalt not murder, that's not just, sometimes I think people think that because that is the Old Testament, that doesn't apply anymore. Yeah, it does.
No, it was, yeah, thou shalt not murder is like unrighteous killing, because he command, the killing is different, and he commanded people to kill for corporate punishment for, you know, the Old Testament roles for the community, of course, right?
But, anyway, but so that's,
Yeah, well, you made a good point there, Kevin. The gospel is for all that God has chosen. You can't go to Christ unless he calls you.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, I want to read this. We see that not only can God... Wait a minute, that's not what I want to do.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, I think of what Sister Missy's saying, if I have a clause that right, if you're talking about the chosen right, that the ones that come to the Lord wills that none should perish, right? And that we all come to repentance. However, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, right? Because we all, by our nature, exalt ourselves. So when we look for the Lord and exalt him, and he abases us, we shall be abased, right? For many are called by the gospel. We answer that call, man. We go full force. But then we're abased. Now, that's the point to where we got to justify ourselves in Christ, which is a sin. Then we got to realize that. So now we're abased, and we can do nothing of ourselves. We're weak. So we repent. We look inside, examine ourselves. And through that, he chooses you. Many are called, few are chosen. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. But if there's many that don't repent, that's a hard message to understand that we're wrong. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a Pharisee. Right? I'm comfortable with that. I wasn't at first. Right, but I'm comfortable that my nature draws me into such. Okay, so if that's what you're saying, then I 100% wholeheartedly agree. You know, but there's a lot of people that don't endure unto the end. So they fall away. It says they used to walk with Jesus, but they don't walk with him anymore. You know, so if that's where you were going, then I mean that's what I got.
Well, the called, if you'll read that, the called are the Christians that are called to walk that like Jesus walked, right? That's what the called is. And yep. The chosen are the ones that do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so when it's a hard message, though, they don't want to eat his flesh that's meat indeed. They
don't
want to
drink his blood.
So it's such a hard message, they fall away. They used to walk with him, they don't walk with him anymore.
Yeah.
So then they remain in the last. You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord doesn't, you know, uproot that. They're the blind leading the blind. Whitewashed walls full of dead men's bones.
Amen.
They're going to fall into a ditch. So that's that carnality. We just witnessed some of that with the gentleman up there sending demons right back. You know,
yeah.
So that, and that's a leaning on your own understanding. You know, that's
yeah.
kind of where I go.
Amen. Well, that, I had a thought. Let me think here. What is this, Kevin? Let's see what you're saying here. Extreme Calvinism, saying God created only a few to be saved and others have no choice. No matter what, of course, the will of man, it's not almighty. Before God, God's sovereignty is really the authority to what?
Well,
more.
You know, God's ultimate sovereignty is obviously what rules everything, whether he calls you, you know. You can't come to the Son unless the Father, you know, bring you to the Son. And Jesus said, "And no, if all that come to me, the Father's given me, I will no wise lose or cast away." Which sounds like once saved, always saved. But wait, slow down. And then, you know, but at the same time, there's got to be some will involved, or else you're saying God creates just, you know, makes it sound like he's bad. Extreme Calvinism just. There's no it, but the scriptures that say all for whoever whomsoever would believe and no one would perish. So there's like will involved, but sovereignty mixed together. I think man has a problem trying to figure God out with their brain, and that's the problem here with Calvinism and whatever else people.
Well, Calvinism is true to the biblical sense. Okay. And by that, I'm talking about you didn't come to Christ unless somebody prayed for you. I'm just almost certain of that. Somebody has to be praying for you to get you into the kingdom. My mother, I'm sure, was praying for me, or somebody was, or I wouldn't have come in. I was 50 years old before I came to Christ.
So, like, does that break God's sovereignty then? Like, yes,
no.
Praise, or?
No. No, it doesn't at all. He works through his people. He works through his body in everything. He works through his body just about everything. In other words, he's sovereign. There's a lot of conditions that we have to overcome. He says, I'll do this if, doesn't he? If you do this. I'll do this if you'll do this. It's always some conditions in there. And in that sense, yeah, Will is right.
I'm sorry. It's come, let us reason together. Not I'm coming to you. Not wait, here I come.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a condition. There's always condition.
There's obviously a mixture there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a mixture of will, you know, the will to do right. I mean, it's not like God's sovereignty made sure that Adam and Eve sinned. Don't sin, but he made sure it was going to happen or something. It was a decision. It's legitimate. God doesn't want robots. He wants people to truly love him for real and serve him and love him for who he is and in righteousness and truth. He doesn't have to pretend or, you know, that's what Satan did is he just put question into their hearts that it was really God was hiding something or was an authoritarian.
You're right. You're right. It's not once saved, always saved, is it? It's that we've stepped over the line when the pastor patted me on the back and shook my hand, and he says that I accepted Jesus in my heart. When of course the only thing we're supposed to do is repent and believe is what the Lord said and be baptized.
What if it's once saved, always have a chance to be convicted and repent again?
Yeah, really.
How about that? That sounds good. I like saying that. You know, but Jesus said, you know, all who come to me, God gave me, and I will accept them. In no wise will I cast them out. It just sounds like that, you know, there's always...
it sounds good.
People say, once saved, they think, you've born, you're sealed for the day of redemption. Apostle Paul says, sealed for the day of redemption and all these things. The deposit and all this Holy Spirit, sealed in the Spirit, all these different things. But obviously, I mean, you've got to have the whole counsel of God. Read the other scriptures that say,
absolutely.
The most extreme cases, do not defraud each other. Be not deceived. Those who do these things, you know, the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, sexually immoral, adulterers, swindlers, drunkards, all these things, right? But then he also says, you know, we're not under the law. It's grace. You know, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. But shall we sin that grace may abound? And how could we? And he says, no, you'll be condemned, and you're right, you know, God forbid. So there's like a balance there. It seems like there's extreme grace. You have repentance. Maybe you have to hold your whole life to repent. But if you don't eventually repent, you're still not, it's over. But so the grace is there for it. It's kind of all mixed together, and you have to read it all. I think people get on a one-track mind to go to one end or the other, left or right, and never in the middle. And people are trying to figure out God in a carnal way. People are trying to interpret God carnally. Or these spiritual things, they're spiritually discerned, too.
Yep. Well, when you're first saved, that's just your spirit. You got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling after that for your soul. And then you work that out. You're working that. That's what we're all doing. We're working out our soul salvation now. Going to the cross.
Yeah, let me add real quick to that, because that goes along exactly with what I was thinking about today. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we overcome by that. Not we become perfect, then we give our testimony.
Yeah.
But that's loving your life unto death, right? You have to overcome by your security in Christ. Because faith comes by hearing by the word of the Lord, so speak up! The problem that we have is that we don't want to say anything at all. Because we're so afraid that people are not going to receive us. We don't want that persecution. Jesus said, I have a baptism. Went through that before. Oh, I'm strained until it be accomplished. Right? If they don't believe you, they don't receive you, then praise God, you're ruffling the right feathers. They didn't receive him either. You know, so you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, not the other way around. That is loving your life unto death.
When the Lord and the disciples talk about salvation, it always says you might. You'll find that word might in there quite a bit. You might become. You might do this. You might become if you do this. And so, you know, what we're saying, it's like Kevin was talking about a while ago. You've got to take the whole word in. You can't just take one verse and another verse over here and another verse over here to get your doctrine right. I'm going to tell you something, just like I heard a preacher say this one time, many times, actually. Trying to think of his name, I can't right now. He said, if your tradition and your doctrine goes against any word out of the Word of God, then you need to drop it and go to the Word of God. Just like Kevin was talking about, or Jeremy, I forget which, you got to take the whole counsel of the Word of God. You just can't take a bit here and a bit there and expect to make a doctrine out of it and think you're going to heaven. That's dangerous. That's real dangerous. Many people, I don't know if y'all remember, Howard Pittman, Baptist preacher, died and went to hell. The Lord sent him to hell. He said, your lot's in hell. You can't come to heaven. You don't have any fruit. He thought fruit was building church buildings and putting people in the church. When in fact, the Lord showed him differently. And he came back and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and went out and started doing what God wanted him to do. And that's what he wants out of each one of us. He was very fortunate that God, he had a lot of grace on him from God. Because there's a lot of them down there in hell that didn't get that chance. And so if your doctrine doesn't go along with what the Word of God says in any instance, you better check it out, because your soul depends on it. Your very soul depends on it. Just like that guy we saw the other night, you know, he thought he was okay. What did the Lord tell him? He was in line to be judged. He thought he was going to hell. He knew he was going to hell. Until the Lord told him, he said, you just barely made it, son. And he said when he came back, this is what stuck to me. It's when he came back, he was so scared to offend God, he hid under his coffee table for a while. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be so scared, fearful of God, until we learn the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to learn it all in this lifetime. There's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer in that word of God. And when you take it by the letter, you're killing yourself. You have to take it by the Spirit. The Spirit giveth life and the letter killeth, it says. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to ask or talk about on the sword and the cross? Yeah, Missy. Who are you talking to?
I'm sorry. I thought I hit the unmute. I only have just a few pages left of reading How Shall We Die? And that is an awesome book that talks about this very subject very well, about taking up the sword and the cross. So if anybody hasn't read it, go on UBM's site and read it, or you can order it through Lulu. I like to actually have the book in hand because I like to decorate it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's where the sword and the cross came out of, I believe. Is out of that. Well, all right. So we are to die to self. Our carnal nature has to die. And the only way we're going to get that done is if we do what Jesus did. And that's not defend ourselves. We can run, like I believe Kevin or might have been Dave talking about. We can run away from it. We don't have to sit there and take it. We can turn around and take off. But you can't defend yourself. The Lord didn't defend himself, according to the Word of God. Yep.
You know, that just what came to my mind when you said about, you know, you don't have to stand there and take it. You can turn and run. Oh my gosh, that what came to me is, you know, the world looks at that as being a coward, and that is not being a coward. That is being obedient to the Lord, and that is not wanting to do evil, return evil for evil, you know? If you keep standing there, you know, the longer you stand there rather than turn and run, you know, if someone's giving you a tongue lashing and you have opportunity to walk away, and, you know, you better walk away because well, it depends on the situation. I mean, it's like if your boss is giving you a tongue lashing, I think you better stand there and listen and pray. But if it's, you know what I'm saying? But my thought is, you know, if you can walk away, you better walk away, because the more you stand there, you might be tempted to open up your mouth and do something you shouldn't do.
You know, somebody was bringing up those Coptic Christians over in one of those Muslim, yeah, Dave, that was David. I forget what country that was, but they went to their death like a lamb. Now, where are they now? Man, they're hanging out with Jesus. They're all of them. Every one of them are hanging out with Jesus at the throne, yeah.
Yeah, Dave. I was just going to say, the running is more probably if your life is threatened. I mean, when it comes down to being persecuted and physically, not necessarily physically, but more tongue lashing kind of stuff, boy, it's better if you can hang it out and let the flesh die. If you think you're getting angry and it's coming up, that means that's more of that flesh that's going to die, as hard as it is. Especially if they're lying about it or anything else, you know it's a lie. Boy, if you can endure that, you're getting some fruit. You really are, because you're going to have this peace that does not quit. Because you're not going to be overcome by very much. If you can endure that and put that flesh to death, do it. But yeah, physically, yeah, if you have an opportunity to run, that's what he's telling you to do.
Paul took off a couple of times. He took off. Well, you know, one thing about, yeah, Andrew.
I remember a time, a long time ago, where I used to put scriptures under the plexiglass of the tables where I used to work. And there was always this one guy who used to come over, because there was two Christians who were at my workplace at that time. And I always thought that that other guy was talking to him maybe about the Lord, and he would come over and ask me a question about the scripture verses like he was interested. But then he would always try to get me going and get me arguing with him. And I would argue with him back then because, you know, he sort of set you up into arguing with you, and I was still a young Christian. And he would always do this several times to me, and I was always sincere with him, trying to be open with him and trying to explain that I'm trying to memorize some of these scriptures, but I'm also trying to explain to him what they mean. And he would always get me going. After a while, that person got in a huge argument with the boss, and he went on leave of absence because he used a hernia that he had as the excuse, and he never returned back to work. And I looked over and I said, the Lord did that because he's making fun of me for being a Christian, because he would try to get me going, and then he would laugh at me because he got me going. And the Lord knew what was going on there. I was being sincere with the guy, trying to show him a scripture verse the best I could at the time. And he was gone, and he went on LOA, leave of absence, the rest of the time. And I was reminded of that just now. And the Lord will take care of you, even if you know very little. And it wasn't nice at the time for him, you know, and I didn't want him to lose his job. I wanted him to keep working, and, you know, because why would you want to be on leave of absence, you know? And it was a real good shouting match that they were having, and it just popped in my head. This happened because he's interfering with me and you, Andrew, and that's what I got out of that. And
amen. What did he say? He said, "I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you." Yeah. If we don't try to be vengeful.
And I'm talking. I was really juvenile in the Lord, and I was like a very trusting person in everybody. And the Lord will protect a person no matter what, you know. It depends on how much interest that person has at the time or where he is at the time, his surroundings, you know. And he'll do that, and that's why I say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You know, if there is someone coming after you, the Lord protects his own. You know, if he's the Word of God, he's going to try and get you to understand what he is, because that's his name. And you can't go beyond it. And you might think you have some things right, and then you go, whoa, was I ever wrong back then? And you can remember the first day you heard what you know now, how the Lord led you, you know, how he would show you scriptures you read the day before, and a guy would come up to you and who'd witness to you, and he'd tell you the scriptures you read last time. And that's what happened to me. And he was actually showing me that the Lord knew I was reading this Bible that I just went out and bought. And this guy came over that very morning, what I was reading the night before, and told me the scriptures I was reading that night, and I was going, and this happened like three times in a row, and I went, what? How do you know what I'm reading at home? You know, and that was kind of cool when the Lord did that. You know, when you first come to Him, and you go, whoa, you know, God knows what I'm reading at night.
And then amen.
How do you know what I was reading? The guy, his eyes went wide open too. And that was kind of neat anyway. So, the smallest things, you know. And wow.
That's awesome. Okay, we just got just a little bit of time left. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Why don't we continue this again Tuesday night? We can talk again some more about it. And I want to thank everybody for participating. Kevin, I appreciate all the questions. It kind of did provoke a little bit of conversation, and that's good. That's a good thing. Well, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for all that came out tonight. And, Lord, I pray that everybody was encouraged by it and that there were some things learned tonight. And I praise you for it, Father. I ask, Lord, that you keep us, give us a good night's sleep, give us some dreams and visions about the things that are fixing to happen. And, Lord, place it in our hearts to always intercede for everybody that you place on our hearts, Lord, and to intercede and to pray. And to pray and to seek you, Lord, that's the main thing. That's our main job right there, is to seek you and to know that you're there and to know that we're in your will, Father. And I praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us next Tuesday night when we come back and we talk again. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, everybody. God bless you.
All right.